Powerplay, der Eishockey-Podcast rund um die Blue Devils Weiden von Oberpfalz Medien.
Servus, liebe Eishockey-Freunde, zu Powerplay, dem Playoff-Podcast rund um die Blue Devils Weiden. Mein Name ist Fabian Leb und bei mir ist, wie immer, mein geschätzter Kollege Thomas Webel. Tom, servus.
Servus, Fabian.
Ja, Tom, jetzt wird es langsam zum Ritual. Auch heute werden wir wieder die Sprache switchen, weil unser Gast sich in dieser Sprache einfach wohler fühlt. Und wenn unser Gast das wünscht, dann machen wir das natürlich. Und wir springen sofort um. Yes, it's a tired start for me on this day. The night was short after the first quarter final for the Blue Devils. But it doesn't help. We have to do this podcast in English again. But it's a pleasure for us that today's guest found a way directly from the stadium into our little podcast studio. Unfortunately, my proposal that we can do it in Latvian found no consent from Tom.
Yeah, my fault.
But then we'll try it in English again. With whom? With none other than Mr. Topscorer, Mr. Number 71. A warm welcome to Edgars Homiakovs. Eddie, it's great to have you here. Thank you for your time.
Hi, servus.
It's about 14 hours after the first playoff quarterfinal for the Blue Devils against the Hanover Indians. The Devils celebrated a 4-2 win after a tight and winner's game. For me, I can say I had to work after the game. It was late already Wednesday when I went into bed. Eddie, give us some impressions. How do you come down after those thrilling games like yesterday?
Like, it's hard. It's hard to come down after the game, especially after the late games like yesterday. When the game is over short after 11, then you eat, then you drive home, and you still have your emotions, and you're kind of popped up still in the game, and then every player can't go sleep right away because he kind of think about the game, what he did right, and where was the mistakes, and what next time he should do better. And then it depends of the end of the game. If you win or lose, of course, it's always nice to win. Then it's kind of more positive emotions and you're not that high with your emotions. Mm-hmm. But after the losing games, it's a little bit harder because then the night is also more shorter because your thoughts don't let you sleep much. But yesterday, yeah, that was also hard for me. My girlfriend went to sleep already and I was sitting and looking on my TV and thinking while I get some sign that I want to go sleep. And then, yeah, sometimes it's faster, sometimes it takes longer time.
Okay. And today is a day free. And how do you recover in the best way?
Had a little sleep, good breakfast, went to the physio appointment for some recovery, get to the ice rink, saw some boys, little talk. Some guys went on the ice, some guys stayed at home. I was in the ice rink this morning and then I'm planning to have a good lunch and then spend time at home and get ready for the next games.
Okay, and Tom, before we'll talk in detail about the game yesterday, please introduce Eddie to our listeners. And Eddie, you may interrupt him if he is talking shit.
And you may interrupt me because English is not my biggest problem today when it comes to language, because some of the city names and of course the club names, the clubs you played for, I don't have a clue what they're pronounced. So please just correct me. So you were born in 1995 in Latvia in the city of?
Hometown, Ventspils.
Ventspils?
Ventspils, yeah. In Germany it's Windau, yeah, but it's Ventspils.
Ventspils, okay.
Yeah.
And then you started playing hockey for a club which is named?
Venta 2002.
No, 2010 to 2013.
That was Liepāja.
Liepāja,
okay. Yeah. Liepāja is Metalurgs.
Then 2013, 2014, I think I can pronounce this one, Lake Tahoe Blue. WSHL,
yeah.
So in the States.
State Hockey League,
was this high school hockey? Or
no, that was the third level of junior hockey. But there was a story that I played in Liepājas Metalurg and then there was insolvency.
Okay.
And the team was completely out and every player, there was like a
so you had
big
to go
school from the small kids to the top team. Mm. and everyone have to look for the new work. And it was kind of my one of the options. And I said, yeah, if I have that, why not? I will take this challenge to see American hockey, because everyone at this time was talking about the college and studies and everything. I said, yeah, I had a good conditions there. So I didn't had actually to pay for anything there. And then I said, yeah, I will go there and look how is the life there. Other side of the
ocean. And how was the experience? Was it worth to go over there?
Sure, yeah. The life experience was good. I learned the English there, but the hockey is not mine. That's the reason why I came back after 1 year.
Why? What's the difference?
The difference, like, I'm not the biggest one, as mm-hmm. everyone knows, and the ice rinks are a little bit smaller, and they play more
physical.
Rough, more physical, mm-hmm. yeah, and they like fights and everything, but it's not mine. Right, I like to play with the puck, skate, and technical. Make some plays, and...
Okay, and then after just 1 year, you moved back to Europe. You played in Romania.
That's Moldavia.
Moldavia.
Yeah, but we played in the Russian championship.
Yeah.
That's like a youth hockey league.
Okay.
So we was always traveling with the bus. But the base was in Moldavia, where we was practicing. We was living in the hotel, all team together. Oh, it was also kind of
okay, and then you had, I think, two seasons in France, in Morzine.
Yeah.
How was that, and how does the hockey they play in France differs from the hockey in the States or here in Germany?
Like, it was a good experience for me. As I said before, I was young. It was my first professional year in the professional hockey, and I was one of the youngest players. As an import player, because there usually was 10 in every team or more. I really like it. I was lucky that the coach was good there. He trusted me and he saw my potential and my talent. So he tried to help me to grow up like a person and like an ice hockey player. And I think this season went good for me, but at the end I get injured.
Ah, okay.
So the end of the story wasn't that good one.
Okay, so then you went back to Latvia for a year, I think?
No, I stayed one more year in France.
Yeah, 2 years and then?
Yeah, like I played in Morzine, I get injured. Yeah, I get injured. And then my team also kind of went slowly to bankrupt.
Okay.
And then they went together with other region team who really? Was like half an hour because the both teams are not the richest one. Mm-hmm. And then they put both names in the team name, like a Chamonix Morzine.
Yep.
And there was like half team of my previous team and the half team from the other team. So we kind of went together, was a different coach, everything. But there was the story that I get injured and I couldn't start the season on the time because I had a longer rehabilitation process. And then coach was... kind of didn't like that because I was talking with him and my agent was talking with him that I need a little bit more time, but I'm fit. And then he kind of always pushed me down. And at the end, he didn't trust in me. And I was, it's loud to say that I was playing there. Okay. I was more practicing and preparing for my future seasons.
But I didn't know the story. Just imagine the Blue Devils Weiden and the, let's say, Selber Wölfe.
Oh, no.
Go together.
Yeah.
Make it.
That would be hard.
that would be tough.
Don't say it so loud.
Okay, but then 2017 to 2019, you went back to your home, your Latvia.
Yeah.
And then 2019, you started in Germany, in Sonthofen.
Yeah.
And then since 2020, the Blue Devils Weiden, and he's still here today.
Yes. And what kind of type Eddie Homiakovs is? This is the question I asked yesterday after the game to Fabian Voigt and coach Sebastian Buchwieser to characterize you, Eddie, what you mean to the team, and let's listen what they've said.
Was ist, wenn Sie einen Eddie Homiakovs charakterisieren müssten?
Ja.
Was ist er für ein Typ und was gibt er dieser Mannschaft am Speziellen?
Ja, der Eddie ist natürlich ein super Typ, kommt immer mit einem Lächeln ins Training. Wenn er da ist, fühlen sich andere auch gleich besser. Und auf dem Eis ist er natürlich technisch und läuferisch ein ganz überragender Spieler.
Zum Abschluss noch, jetzt muss ich selber reinsprechen. Ich habe morgen Edgar Somiakovs bei uns im Podcast zu Gast.
Jawohl.
Was ist der Eddie für ein Typ? Was gibt er euch als Mannschaft?
Ja, Eddie ist ein Wahnsinnsspieler, der führt die zweite Reihe, oder bei uns gibt es ja keine Reihen, der führt die Reihe da an, ist schnell, wendig, einfach ein klasse Typ in der Kabine, und der gibt einfach Gas und haut sich rein. Das ist sehr wichtig für unser Team, das brauchen wir.
Und jetzt kannst du aus dem Nähkästchen plaudern. Eddie will den Podcast in englischer Sprache führen.
Nein.
Könnt er denn eigentlich Deutsch?
Ja, der kann schon ein bisschen Deutsch. Also verstehen Deutsch tut er eigentlich alles. Deutsch sprechen geht auch schon, aber er traut sich halt nur noch nicht so ein bisschen.
Alles klar, das werden wir checken. Danke dir, alles Gute. Ciao.
So, Eddie, do you agree with their words?
I hope I understand everything right, but as Fabian said that I understand everything, then yeah, I try to bring the positive in the locker room, and because we are kind of as my family for this season, we have a same goal, and it's always nice. I know from myself that I'm in the locker room and everything is nice and everyone is laughing. It's nice to be there and spend the time and work for the same goal all together.
But we can't change into German now, like Fabian told to us.
We can try, but
no.
We can try, but
joke. It's okay. But you already did it. But in your own words, what is your special impact, in your opinion, to this Devils team? What are you giving the team on the ice, but also in the locker room?
I try to work for the team. I try to help the team win the games and bring the, like I said, positive emotions, and in the process what we are doing all together, and try to grow like a hockey player, because we have a good opportunity for that. We have everything around, and in Weiden every year everything goes only up, so it's a good chance for everyone personally to be more professional and understand the things what they, for example, before they, it's hard to explain.
Okay.
Like maybe some guys have once in the life, something like that, to battle for some championship, for the cup, and to be in the friendly atmosphere and where everyone is on the same page. Because sometimes, like, it's my second season in total in both is in Weiden, when you have a chance to win something. Previous you play, but you know that this chance is not so high to reach that. Of course, that's a sport, everything can happen, but if you look really on this one, in this thing, then it's a little bit sad that you understand that you're kind of here, but in the same time far away from that.
Okay.
So in this year in Weiden, I think we have a really good chance. It's here. We just have to keep working, keep fighting, and stick to the plan, what the coach are saying and doing for us.
Okay, now, and let's have a look on the way in the playoffs so far. And I think, with all the respect for the Füchse Duisburg, but after the game yesterday, I think we can say that the first three games weren't much more than a warm-up. Would you agree that the playoffs really started yesterday?
No, I wouldn't say that, because for the playoffs you have to focus time before. So the official playoff starts against the Duisburg. So our mindset have to be straight from this day and till the end of the playoffs. It's not like it was a warm-up and now we start to play. It's not like you turn on the water and turn off the water. You have to go on the... Always stick to your plan, your rituals, and work hard and be professional and work for the team and for the other guys.
So, Tom, let's have a look.
Let's have a look at yesterday's game. 4-2 for the Devils, a win over the Hanover Indians, I think. It's fair to say that you really had to work hard to secure this win. It started great for you, because Dominik Müller had a shot from the blue line. Martin Heinisch deflected it for the 1-0. Just 2 minutes later, Roman Kechter finished a counterattack for the 2-0. And to be honest, that was, I think, 9 minutes into the game or something like this, 10 minutes, I don't know, I remember exactly. But I thought, okay, that will once again be more or less a easy win. But then 3 minutes later, Turnwald scored from the blue line for the Indians. So it was just 2-1. Luckily, 2 minutes later, Fabian Voigt, whom we have just heard in his own voice, he scored the 3-1 for the Devils. Then second period, intense period, you had many chances, but you didn't score. Yeah, Hannover said thank you in the person of Joe Kiss, by the way, a great name yes. for a hockey player, Joe Kiss. And he scored the second goal for Hannover, so it got really tight again. And then it also got very intense because Markus Eberhardt and Jaden Schubert got into a fight. It's a really a great scene because when you see all the other players just standing around and I think, okay, they're just making bets. They both got penalties, I think 2+5 yes. for each of yeah. them. But for you as a player, what is the impact of such a fight for the game and for the team? Is it important to show the opponents don't mess with us? Or is it for you personally more a distraction? Because, of course, it's a break in the game.
Like, I would say in the playoff time, you need that. For us, was like to bring our bench more positive to that we are back in the game because maybe Beppe felt that we are a little bit down and he had a chance. So after the fight, usually the teams get more back in the game, like a wake-up call.
More focused.
Yeah, more focused again and some emotions on the bench and support each other. But from opponent team, I think they just tried to change the game, make some provocations and show that we are still in the game and give the same chance for their bench to wake up and say, let's play because I'm here, I play for the team and let's do all together till the end because it's a playoff. And for sure for the fans, it's really nice. It's kind of small show yes. during the game.
You mentioned the provocations and I think after the fight, all the players calmed down, but it was obviously the intention of the Indians to provoke, to take perhaps some Devils player out. And were you prepared for that style to play? And how difficult is it for you players then always to stay cool?
Sometimes it's hard, but you have to because on the ice and on the bench you are not alone and it's a team sport. So you don't have to think only about yourself. You think about the team because if you get some penalties or something more, then the team have to fight in the penalty killing and it's at the end can cause the game. So for sure there are going to be some provocations, but you have to be smart and use your head and focus on your game.
And after 32 minutes, Roman Kechter scored the 4-2 for the Devils. This should be the last goal of the evening. In the third period, there were possibilities on both sides, but no goals. How would you characterize this period?
I think we played more defensively to play with the lead, to kill the time and just wait for their mistakes, what they should, what they could do, because we were 2 goals in front of them and they have to score 2 goals to be back in the game. So I think we did maybe not the greatest job of last 20 minutes, but it wasn't so bad because we bring the pucks out, we bring the pucks deep, and when we had the chance, we went and tried to score, but at the end, it's anyways 4-2, and we have one win. Doesn't matter if it's 4-2 or 7-2, so at the end, it's only one win, and Friday, we go again for another one.
Okay, and coach Sebastian Buchwiese, he praised the fans after the match. How does the atmosphere and the stadium affect you as a player? Now there are much more visitors than in the regular season.
Sure, it's nice to play when a lot of people is watching the game and supporting and screaming, and it's better than to play when there is no one, like we played when it was a COVID. Yeah. That was completely quiet. You can hear every noise, what coach is screaming on you and everything, but it's nice. But when you are on the ice and you're playing, you don't hear much because you're so deep in your head and focused for the game and you are not you don't hear what's happening around, but when you sit on the bench and when you score a goal, then it's nice. Yeah, it's loud, and that's why we play hockey. It's something, wow, it's something special.
Okay. And before we are going to talk about, I call it the hockey player Eddie and the private Eddie, we will go to a little commercial break.
Alle Blue Devils Fans da draußen an den Smartphones, an den Webbrowsern, an den Autoradios, an den Streamingradios. Ja, keine Ahnung, wo ihr uns hört. Hauptsache, ihr hört uns. Wir hoffen, ihr habt Spaß mit uns. Ihr lernt ein paar der Devils-Spieler ein bisschen näher kennen, als es möglich ist, wenn man ihnen nur im Stadion zuschaut. Ja, wenn ihr aber nicht bloß hören wollt, sondern auch lesen wollt und wenn ihr wirklich immer Bescheid wissen wollt, was so bei den Blue Devils Weiden abgeht, dann haben wir einen Tipp für euch, nämlich onitz.de/Blue Devils, onitz.de/Blue Devils. Da findet ihr alle Artikel rund um die Blue Devils Weiden. Da findet ihr Spielberichte, Kommentare, Analysen, Interviews und natürlich auch den Blue Devils Newsletter, mit dem ihr garantiert nichts mehr verpasst, was bei den Blue Devils so los ist.
Welcome back to Power Play, the Devils podcast in the middle of the playoffs. Our today's guest is Eddie Homiakovs. And now, Eddie, what kind of role played the last year clash with the Indians for you? What memories do you have of the last year series?
The memories was somehow good and somehow bad because I didn't play first two games against them. That was kind of sad for me, and I still remember on this day, but it's a life and it is how it is. But it was nice to play against them. It was nice crowd there. What I'm looking forward for Friday. And this year is a good time for revenge. And
okay, it's never met. Good time for revenge. That will be the title. You also said the stadium in Hanover, over 4,000 spectators. Yeah. What do you expect on Friday? Will it be provocating from the first minute on and attacking you? Because I think the Devils are the better team. We don't have to discuss. So they have to find another way to beat the Devils. What are your expectations?
Sure, it's gonna be a completely different game if we compare with yesterday, because they have also little break now after the games, the flow what they had. So I think they go home, take a rest, look on a video on the first game, because for them also was something new yesterday. And then I think, like I said, it's gonna be different game and they're gonna come hard because they play home. It's 4,500 maybe of spectators and they are home team, so I think they're gonna come hard. And we have to be ready from the first minute till the last minute.
I talked with Fabian Buchwieser. that doesn't exist. Fabian Voigt yesterday. What is for you as a player the better way? When you have a little break, some days free between the games, like the Indians, they played every 2 days, got the first series over 5 games. What is better?
for every player it's different, but if you ask me, then I don't like really long breaks, because then you lose kind of feeling, the game feeling and yeah, the atmosphere and everything. But when it's too much games, then it's too much and you would like to take a rest. So you have to find a middle way, and I think every player exactly knows what he needs and what is the best for him.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting to hear. Maybe since we have you here, and of course you stand out a little bit in your roster when you look at the statistics. So let's perhaps have a look at the statistics of the regular season. You had 24 goals, 47 assists combined, 71 scorer points during the regular season. That made you the top scorer of the whole team. Do you know by how many points you were the top scorer?
In the whole league, you mean? Or
no, in your team.
In my team. What do you mean exactly?
How many scorer points does the next one have?
Okay. I think one or two, something like that.
So you got one scorer point more than Tomáš Hrubeš. but the top scorer in your team. But these statistics, do they matter to you? Are they important, or do you just ignore them because you just want to play the game?
Like, I don't focus on that, but it's everyone likes to score. Everyone likes to make the points, and at the end, it's your work. And every team who is looking on you, they first what they do, they look on the points, and then they start asking the people around how is he like a player, how he's in the locker room, and it's not the most important thing, but it also can play in the future some role of your future. So
yeah,
it's like it depends how the people look, because some coaches look how you play, some agents look. For example, if some player wants to look work with the agent, then he looks and he sees 0-0, and then he says, "What I can do with you?" You know.
So that will be my statistics.
So it's better to have something than nothing.
Okay.
Sure, it's always nice. It's always nice. I think everyone like it, and everyone kind of focus on that. But at the end, the team goal is the most important.
We heard from Fabian Voigt told me yesterday that is that you are not thinking in lines or first line, second line, and you are a compact team, but you play in the second line with Neil Szymanski and Dennis Tilsch. What characterizes a well-functioning line for you? Is it important to play the most games with the same partners?
If it works, then why not? Because I remember last season or season before when Dennis Tilsch came, the coach put us together to play and it worked really well. And since this time, it's kind of stick together. And now this year, coach put Neil, and this is the only guy who stays with us for longer time than a couple games, because usually for the coaches was hard to find, I think. But this year, I think it's really good, and we played a lot of games together, and everyone is happy, and we work like a line good.
But perhaps you could explain to me as a total noob, do you have in your line, do you have individual duties? Is there a plan like, okay, you focus more on passing, you focus more on the physical aspect? Of course, you would think about Neil Szymanski when it comes to this, because he's, you know, I think 2 meters 50 tall or something like this.
3 meters
at least. Or does everybody just do everything?
No, we do everything. Like, we stick to the plan what the coach give us, and for sure during the game there is some episodes where the Neil have to use his body and weight, go and win the pucks for us, little bit kind of black work. But me and the Tilsch is not the biggest one, so we are more like a playmakers. But sure, we don't sort who is doing what. We play like a line, and we try to support each other, and if I have to go and fight for someone, then we go and fight for that. It's not that you do this, I do this, and because it never brings to something good.
Yeah.
You have to be always on the same page, and you have to understand each other so well to get successful.
The Devils play a great season so far. In your opinion, what are exactly the strength of this team?
I think first of all, we have good players with a good experience. We have a long bench, 4 lines, which are not first, second, third, fourth. Like you said, we are same. All lines are the same. And the difference, I think, the biggest difference from the past seasons is that in this year, every line can score a goal.
Yes. Yeah.
If one line having bad day or unlucky day, then we have 3 other lines who can do this job.
And in your career, you've seen many coaches, their work, their speeches. Can you please characterize for us and analyze the work and the person, Sebastian Buchwieser?
He's a professional. He loves his work, what he's doing. And you can see he's really motivated for the goal, what he's responsible for. and he tries to bring all the best to the team and give us the best way that everyone in the team have fun and are proud of the team game and his own game. But I can't say anything bad. Mm. I think every guy is happy about his work, and at the end of the day you can see in the standings where we are, and that's the one of the reasons why we are there, because everyone knows what we are doing and we are on the same page. What is big work from his side, I think, to get the team all together and that everyone is on the same page. And he can be a little bit tough, but but it's a sport and some guys need that. And but yeah.
Okay, and let's have a little look on the private, Eddie. I think I saw a picture after the last game of the regular season and the medal ceremony that shows you with your family on the ice. Is that right?
That's my German family. Okay. And my girlfriend's family.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
My family is back in Latvia.
Yes.
But this is my German family and girlfriend's family.
Okay. And how often do you visit your family in Latvia, or do they come here?
More I visit them between the season breaks, more in the summertime, because it's easier. Then they come because they are busy with the works and that they are building the house, and he's all in the work. So it's easier when I go in summertime. But now, 2 weeks ago, was my aunt visiting me for 5 days. First playoff game, she was here. Was nice. Yeah, rest of the time I spend with my German family, who I met here, and my girlfriend's family.
Okay.
I think that's a nice expression, my German family. I really like that. Eddie, how did you start to play hockey as a child? And what was happening?
If I remember right, then I was 5 years old and I went for the walk with my grandpa. And in this year or year before, in my hometown, Ventspils was a build new ice rink.
Okay.
And my grandpa was sporty. He played soccer and ice hockey on the lake and basketball, the sports.
So everything, basically.
Yeah, everything, yeah. But he was never professional. And then he said, yeah, that's a new ice rink. Let's go and look how it looks inside. And I was standing like a small kid and I couldn't see what's happening there in this time. So he took me in the arms and showed me there was public skating. And I saw first time that people are skating. And for me, it was something new. He said, do you want to try? I said, yeah, sure. And then some weeks later, he brought me to the public skating. He took the skates for me. I was skating. And after the public skating was some hockey team coming. And I say, what is it? The big guys and skating good and strong. I said, do you want to try hockey? I said, yeah, sure. And then he bought with the time all the equipment. And I went to the beginning school of skating. And that's how it starts.
So I think we just can say thank you, Grandpa, on your course.
Yeah. That's because of him, I think. Yeah.
And when did you decide to try to become a professional player?
When I was 12.
When you were 12?
When okay. I was 12, yeah. Okay. Because in respect. This time, I played in my hometown, Ventspils, which one was a good school for the kids. But in same time, if I stayed there, nothing could happen. I would stop play when I was 16 or 15. And in this time, the Liepājas Metalurgs, the team, was a big school. The young school, where from the children to the top okay. team goes, there was structure. Mm-hmm. They had like a sport internat. And the coach saw my talent that I'm playing there. He said, yeah, maybe you want to come there. And there was everything about the hockey. And then I had a decision, or I stay in my hometown, or I leave my hometown when I was 12 and live in sport internat. Without the parents, it's not far away. My home was 1.5 hours away. Mm. But still, every day I have to be alone with the other kids. And then I was talking with the parents, like in 12 years old. You can't talk really, you know. Yeah. They just ask, are you ready and do you want? Because, of course, they didn't want that I leave that early because I was only 12. And you never know what can happen. And And then I said, yeah, I'm ready. I want. And then since I went there, it was always everything about discipline. I was living in the sport internat with the other hockey players. We was together some 25 people. There was a security on the first floor. We had around everything, the net, you can shoot the pucks in your free time. You had the director. The team brought the food for you. So there was always 8 in the morning breakfast. In the summertime, when the school starts, then you have to wake at 6 in the morning to eat a breakfast all together. And then everyone goes to the school. And then there was the ladies who was looking on us, how we study and if everything is good, if the room is clean, because they wasn't allowed to go somewhere when your bed is mess. You always have to leave everything clean because the ladies come and look. It's kind of to prepare you for the big life. Then you have to bring the same clothes for washing down. And for example, it was Monday and Friday. So if you miss, then you miss. It's your own fault. You can do anything. And then these ladies who was working with us, they went to the school and was talking with the school teachers how we are studying and if everything is good. And then everything went to the coaches and coaches was talking with the presidents and everything because there was limited space. And if someone is not doing great, then they take the next one.
So you had to be very disciplined and very focused from a very young age on.
Yeah. That was, like I said, it was everything about the discipline because you don't have any more papa and mama next to you who say, mama, I need to wash my clothes or something. You have to think by yourself because it's only Monday and Friday. So you have to pack, you have to go, then you have to pick it up. You have to put everything nice in the closet. You can just open and throw inside and close. Then the sport internet president call you down and ask, what's wrong with you? What you don't understand?
How is this today? Is your room clean?
Always. You can come visit me any day, any time. It's always going to be clean.
Okay.
So. And since this time, I'm used to that and it's not even hard for me and it's nice.
Okay.
It was a good...
You can come to me and learn.
What chaos looks like.
I have two little childs. It's some work to take everything.
But I think if not this time, I wouldn't be where I'm now. Okay. I think it was really big push for me, and we could practice from the morning till evening. But you don't still have to forget about the school. So my day was actually we had a practice from 7 in the morning till 8. So we ate breakfast at 6, 7 till 8 was practice, 8:30 was school till 4. And then you just grab some sandwich, some food, and then you go for another ice from 5 till 6. And then you go home, do some homeworks. And at 9, everyone have to be in the room. And at 10, everyone have to sleep. There wasn't no computers. You just are allowed with your phone. And the internet we had only for 20 guys, 25 guys, 1.5 hour a day. It was from 7 till 8:30. And it's like two computers and 25 guys. And in this time, everyone have some messages and Facebooks and everyone wants to write and look something. And then you have to share and you have to give. And of course, in this big group of the guys, there is some problems and discussions, but that's how you grow up. It's you see the life, you know. And
I think Fabian is making some notes for his own kids.
Yes.
That was very good. I'm thankful for this time. Yeah. It was hard for me and for my parents, I think, but I'm thankful.
Tonight I will work out the plan. And from tomorrow on, I said...
Eddie comes. You're ready. There was even one story that one guy was in the rush in the morning. He forget to make his bed nice. And he went to the practice and the sport internet guy came to the ice rink during the practice, said, you, come here. Oh. Did you forget something? I think no. No, you forget to make your bed nice. So go dress down and go back. He just took him out of the practice and sent him back to the sport internet to make his bed nice, and then he can do whatever he wants again.
It's good that we are not talking about what we did in the age of 13. Very, 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 very impressive. Though I can cancel the next question, because I would have asked you what the plans would have been if it doesn't work as a professional ice hockey player. So there haven't been any plans.
No. Mm-hmm. Since I left in 12 years, then I said, if I'm here and I made this step away from my home and my parents, so I have to, I want, and then I start to get used myself that I have to practice, I have to go to the school, I have to go do something extra, because if I go there for one practice a day, then I can stay home for one practice a day also. And I understood in this age that it's hard for my parents, and for me also was crying like the other guys. And there wasn't everyone 12. There was from 12 till 19. So it was kind of different age. And yeah, then I understood and I wanted that my parents are proud of me and that they understand my decision. That it's not that it's hard time and then he comes home and nothing happened out of that.
But now I think everyone in your family is very, very proud of you.
Yeah. I think, yeah. Always could be worst. Always could be better. So it's how you see.
So now, that was a very impressive ride into the past of Eddie Homiakov, that we will have a look in the future. How long do you plan to play professional hockey?
As long as I can. But I would say it depends on my body and the injuries. As my body allowed me to play, I would like to play and enjoy, because the time goes so fast. I was waiting for my 18 so long, but where they are already 10 years ago. So the time goes and I would like to enjoy as much as I can. And I hopefully I don't get any serious injuries, that I can play hockey till 40, maybe longer. That's my wish, but we will see. I don't want to guess anything, but sure, if I can play till 50, I want to play.
Okay, there is time to plan the time after the career.
Yeah, Eddie, you live in Weiden since 2020. What do you like about the city? Do you have any favorite places to relax, to chill out, to drink a coffee, to go to?
Yeah, I think have drink a coffee, nice places. Fußgängerzone, there's a lot of coffee shops and restaurants and bars. One of the favorites, one is a Binary and Zimmer Nummer 2, where is a good coffee.
Very good.
Yeah. But yeah, downtown is really nice. Only the weather is not the best in Weiden, so it's always rainy and it's not much to do in this weather. But in the summertime, it's really nice.
Okay. What are you doing when you're not on the ice?
You mean during the season?
Yes, or in your free time. Or like
when you're on a vacation also.
Like so. The mornings usually is the practice time. Mm-hmm. So you wake up, eat the breakfast, then you go for gym. Then you have a long time in the ice rink, spend time with the guys, meeting. Then you go on the ice and then it's already lunchtime. 12, 1, depends on the day when we have a practice. Then it's lunch, and then you see what is about the weather and how you feel. And sometimes I like to sleep on an hour, for example, especially after the away games when you come late and then you practice next day. So to get back in the rhythm and feel great, sometimes I read the books at home, go for the walk. But in wintertime, it's harder. At the moment, I'm making puzzle at home, 3,000 pieces. So that's the thing what helps me to
calm down.
Calm down and take all the things out of my head.
The second reason why you should come to me, my daughter is making puzzle with 49 pieces.
14,000?
49. 40. She's 4 years.
Oh.
She's... That's nothing for you.
Let's see.
Okay, and it's your day free. We want to not to extend the podcast today. So, but we have one that has to come now. the questions from the fans.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, Tom, will you start?
Yeah, one question we got from the fans is, or from one fan is, Eddie, are you superstitious?
What time?
Superstitious.
Superstitious.
Abergläubisch. You have rituals, always the same.
You believe in good luck or bad luck if you do something.
Yeah. I think every player has his own rituals. And it's only normal in the sport. If you look on the McDavid, Crosby, they go for the warm-up and they do always the same. You can cut two videos and it's going to be same. So I would say yes.
And what do you do?
He's almost the last.
It's all day kind of about the rituals on the game day. It's going to be much if I start to count.
Okay.
So I have to eat the breakfast on time. For example, lunch, latest, I try to eat 6 hours before the game. Then I need a sleep. And during the game, drink some coffee. What I need, good warm-up, play some ball with the boys, then get time for myself to focus.
So it's really about the rituals. And
you kind of try to stick to your routine, what you are doing always. And sometimes when the game don't go how you want, then you change a little bit. But anyways, you come back to your standards.
Okay.
Because it's sometimes for the head, it's good.
It looks like a competition. Who is the last one who is going from the ice after the warm-up? Thomas Rubes, Nardo Nachtsau, Martin Heinisch, always the same, and Eddie. And
that's also kind of a ritual. Like, it went from the beginning of the season, I think. I know that Nardo would like to stay the last one on the ice, so I give him, but I leave the last one from the bench.
Okay.
So we kind of found a compromise, but... But if some opponent guy stays on ice, then me, I don't know if Nardo waits, but I wait when he goes, and then I leave.
Okay.
It's kind of small game.
Yes.
I remember in Duisburg when we played, the guy was standing. He was standing, and usually we have 15 minutes before the game meeting.
Yeah.
And I always look on the clock, and he looks on me, and he don't go, and I also don't go. So we just stay. I said, okay, I have a time limit because I have to be in the meeting. It's a playoff game, and he's standing. I looked on him. So I said, okay, it's your home. It's your home arena. So I give you this one. So I went behind the corner. He went out of the ice, and he was on the way to the locker room. And I went back. I step on the ice, and all the fans start, scream. And Betroya from Duisburg, he called this guy back. Look, he's back. So he turned around and showed me, like, what's going on here? I said, I go. I said, okay. I went. He stepped on ice and went back. And then all the fans was happy about it. That was a funny story, but it's kind of also go under the skin a little bit, but...
Okay, as someone is looking at you very... Very detailed, how it seems. Why do you always look to the stands right before the game starts?
I mean, when I'm on the ice, or...
I think so.
Okay, but I would say it's more like a ritual also to look around because it's always nice when it's full, you know. The people are standing, waiting for the game and cheering. So you just look a little bit and I guess that's nice atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Same is when you play away games, it's also... You look on them and you can see in the eyes, they just hate you. And you just with a smile, just enjoy the atmosphere, you know?
Do you enjoy that when everyone hates you? Like it was
Not
it was
the hate, horrible, but huh? When it's against, I would say I like that. I like that because then you always can make them more angry. Hungry, yeah?
Okay, you got the jersey number 71?
Yeah.
Why? Did you choose it? Did they give it to you? And
usually,
if you choose it, has
no,
it some
meaning?
No,
I choose it. Usually my number was number 9. That's the number with which one I played official hockey game when I was as a kid. So I played with this number till I was 19, I think. So it's more than 14 years. And then I went to the France Morzine. And I wanted to take 9, but the 9 was already had other guy, and usually in the hockey, who is older or who plays there longer, so you just leave it, but you can take away. I was one of the youngest there, so I said, okay, I take number 10. It was my kind of second favorite number. The season was good, but at the end I get injury, and I said, okay, that's not maybe my number. I switched back to 9, and in this year, the coach didn't trust me, didn't let me play the Chamonix-Morzine team. And then I went back to Latvia and I take the number 9 again, and it was a great season. And then in this year, the Latvian international team called me for the tournament before the championship, and I just came in the locker room and they give me 71. And I played and I felt so great on ice, and it was really good tournament for the team, for me. And then I was sitting in the bus, thought maybe that's my foreign, like other country number. And then I came to Germany's on Hofen. They asked which number you want. I said, I try 71. Because 9 wasn't lucky. 10, I get injured. So I found 71. And I think till now everything is good and I stick to that.
And Fabian, jersey number 71 and 71 scorer points.
Wow.
Whoa. Could it be a coincidence?
That I also heard before.
What a ritual.
Yeah. People say that I have to change my number.
99.
That was the only option what I heard of.
Okay. A question from me now. When was your last game for the national team of Latvia?
When I played in Latvia in Kurbats. It was 3.5 years ago.
Okay. Who is your idol?
My idol is one Russian player, Alexander Radulovs. He played a couple seasons NHL, then back in Russia, the Continental Hockey League, KHL. So he's my idol. I like the way how he play. He's having so much energy that sometimes it's unreal. You just look on him and you can see he's a team leader. He have so much respect, and the way how he plays on ice. Sometimes he's rough, he can fight, but that's the thing what fits him, and I like it.
Tom, last question.
Last question from a fan. How does it feel to score right in front of your home fans?
Great. That's always great feeling to score a goal. And why it shouldn't be bad or sad. Sure, it's good.
Okay. Eddie, big thank you.
Thank you guys also.
It was really a pleasure, and it was, I hope nobody is now not amused, but it was very impressive, and one of the most impressive episode of this podcast, because the look in your past was very, very interesting. And now we wish you a good luck for
Thank
Friday
you.
And for Sunday, and then it's over, okay? For this series. Now, then we go to the semis.
We start with Friday.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for listening. Danke fürs Zuhören. Wir hören uns nächste Woche wieder. Bis dahin, macht's gut, alles
Danke.
Gute. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Powerplay, der Eishockey-Podcast rund um die Blue Devils Weiden von Oberpfalz Medien.